All right. Well, we're going to be doing things quite a bit different tonight than what we're normally doing things on Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles with you right now, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 100, Psalms in chapter 100, this is our annual Thanksgiving praise night service, and it's all about being thankful, giving God thanks for everything, and when we give God the thanks due unto his name, that will lead us to a place of praise. And when we get to that place of praise, it helps even draw us closer to the Lord. And you can't draw close to the Lord without thanksgiving and praise. And Psalms chapter 100, if you have that, go ahead and stand with me. Let's read this together. I love this psalm. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." That's how you come into the gates, the outside of the presence of God, is through thanksgiving. And then, "and into his courts." That's how you get real close to the Lord. You can't get there, and genuine praise is not genuine praise outside. It is developed through thanksgiving. And once you come through his gates with thanksgiving, you can come into his courts with praise. "Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Again, let's pray and we'll get right into our service tonight. Father, again, we thank you. And Lord, I trust that especially as we have this Thanksgiving holiday, a day that we have set aside just to acknowledge Thanksgiving, I pray, God, that we would do that first and foremost, and that we would give thanks to the one who deserves it, and that is to an almighty creator God who has given so much, sacrificed your only begotten Son, that so humanity could be reconciled to you, have everlasting life. Because of you, we have the very air that we breathe. Because of you, we have the blessings that we have, and we thank you for that. And as we're here tonight, we want to first and foremost acknowledge you and give you thanks and praise tonight. And as we look to this service, and Lord, how you've no doubt have put it all together for us, and as we prayed and you directed as far as those that would give testimony tonight, and no doubt each one of those have spent time seeking your will as far as just what to say, and I just pray that you would just continue, Lord, to just direct each one, that everyone here would sense your presence in this place, and that everyone here would have that ear to hear what you have to say to them, and that we would leave here blessed. I just pray that you'd work in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thanksgiving leads to praise, and praise leads to close fellowship with God. And again, tonight the service is going to move rather quickly. We're going to have three testimonies from those that I believe will be an encouragement to all of us that are here tonight to simply praise the Lord. And when you do that, you draw closer to the Lord. And that's why we have this Thanksgiving praise night service. The first one that we're going to have speak tonight, and we're going to have a special music before each one of the speakers. And so after I introduce who's going to be coming to give the testimony, we're going to have the special come up, and they'll be singing. And then right after the special music, then we'll have the special testimony. And we'll have three testimonies, three specials tonight. And I just am looking forward to, excited about it already. And but the first one tonight, we understand that Jesus Christ established the church. This is a local called out assembly, his church. It was established by the Lord Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. And his will is that they would continue to be established all around the world, so that all people would not only get saved, but all people would have what God has provided for his people, and that is the church, that they can be a part of and receive the blessings of God through his local New Testament church. So we understand that Jesus has established the church, and he continues to work through it to impact lives. I think that probably every one of us here would be able to give a testimony of how the church, if you're a member of this church, how the church, God has used this church to impact your life. Well, through the church, and people have been given the opportunities to know and to live by God's will. And the first one tonight I want to introduce to be a blessing to us, is going to come and give a testimony in just a minute, is Jordan Sumner. Jordan Sumner came, I believe, as a teenager to this church, and this church has impacted his life in such a way that I believe that it will be a blessing when you hear his testimony. I know the testimony, and that's one blessing of being a pastor. I know the testimony of every church member. And I'm blessed by these, and we continue to get people coming to the church, and not everyone has an opportunity to know their testimony. And so this special service that we have gives opportunity for the rest of the congregation to hear some testimonies that I believe that will be a blessing to you to hear. And I believe that you'll be blessed by hearing Jordan Sumner's testimony. And before Jordan comes, then we have, I think this is Glory Bound, all right? The Glory Bound Quartet is going to come and sing, and then Jordan will come up. And each testimony will be anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. And again, it'll move quickly. And so be ready just to be blessed.
I guess I kind of gave myself away tonight. I don't always wear a suit, and I couldn't tell people I was singing because I can't. But I thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to be able to get up here. It wasn't too long ago, at least it doesn't seem too long ago. I was sitting down in, you know, one of the second or third rows. As a teenager, I was invited by the Pruitts. They lived seven houses down from me. I was 16, 17 years old. I got invited to come to a youth night, and not too many people had Brother Merv as a youth pastor. Which, if the first night I was there, everybody was wearing a yellow shirt that said "Can you woo?" And I had no clue what that meant. But for being my first time in a Baptist church, to have a preacher who jumped up on the front pew, it kind of scared me a little bit. I didn't know what to think, but I did continue to come, as you can see. But God has just used so many different people, so many different things in my life to lead me where I am today. God's timing's perfect. After getting saved when I was 17, Brother Merv led me. He was the one that led me to the Lord. We were at a youth rally, and True Baptist, I got saved while eating food. So we were at a Burger King. I still remember the day. Stephen Scott was sitting across the seat from me. Brother Merv was over next to me, and one of Stephen's friends came, but I remember the day that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And then after that, it wasn't too much longer of being in the youth group and everything that Brother Adam, Miss Susan took over as our youth pastor and everything. And Miss Susan kind of grew up down the street with my mom and dad. And so she kind of knew me a little bit, and she started praying for me. And I'm very, very, very thankful that she prayed for me, because I went to Heartland Baptist Bible College after my senior year. I went for 2 years, and it was such a blessing because it prepared me for what was ahead. It made me grow stronger in my faith, made me grow stronger in my beliefs of just being able to, from being a new Christian, but to go there before going into the Marine Corps. After I got out of Bible College, I did 4 years in the Marine Corps. I thank God for allowing me to be able to go there. It is a ministry. It's like being a missionary there. There is very far few and in between people who are Christians in the military. Just, you know, being in a sense being persecuted by them, you know, just for not smoking, for not cussing, for not, you know, running around doing all the things that they were doing. I got hit pretty hard for that, but, you know, I just kept on pushing on. Looking back at what I learned in college and everything, and just from the people that had been around me, I knew right from wrong, and I just knew I needed to stay on the right path. And while I was in the Marine Corps, I did two tours, and after my second tour, I met my lovely wife at a Marine Corps ball. She was in the Air Force, and two of our friends allowed us to meet and everything, and we just hit it off from there. Got married in February 2nd of 2008. I remembered, but that was a very big blessing. God knew the timing that I needed in between tours, and not too long after we got married, I was shipped off for a third tour, and spent 8 months, a little over 8 months apart and everything, but. Just being able to be blessed by God and finding a godly woman, and it's just such a blessing. She's definitely my better half. She remembers everything for me, reminds me of things I need to do. So it's been a blessing to be able to be married to her, and I'm still looking forward to many years to come. And then after the Marine Corps, I got out. I moved up to Montana. That's where she was stationed at the time. We got involved in a church up there. We spent 4 years up there getting involved in a church up there at Heritage Baptist Church, and just doing anything and everything the pastor wanted us to there. And believe it or not, I was, you know, did a lot of the ushering and stuff. But I just felt as though God was calling us to come back to Indiana. Kind of struggled with it a year before, going down to a men's conference that we had and talking to one of my buddies and just getting some knowledge and getting some influential stuff from him. And just, you know, I just kind of was fighting with it that first year and just didn't really, you know, wasn't too secure in it. And then the second year came around where I got to talking to him about it, same men's trip going down. And I just knew at that time, I knew God was moving to have us come back home. And this is where God's timing comes in perfectly. It may not always be the right timing for us, but it is God's timing. The day that we moved back on January 18th, we got a phone call from my grandpa that night, who we were supposed to be moving in with the next day just to stay with for a couple of months. We found out that my grandma had passed away the day that we moved back, and she didn't get to see her great-grandchild, which was kind of sad, but we just, you know, continued to press on, continued to get involved in church here. We started coming back to church here, and we started getting more and more involved in different ministries and getting in with junior church, and then eventually getting in with junior high and being in the youth ministry is a blessing. I think it's because it's my mentality level still. But and then I believe it was 7 months later, we had our second child, Jamie Sue. She was born on July 2nd. And she was the first granddaughter to my parents and to Jen's parents. And even writing it down, it was a little hard. It was a month later, my mom started having complications. And she was really thankful that we were able to have a girl and everything. She always wanted one. And she had three boys instead. And so she got a grandbaby who was a girl. And it was just amazing to see God's timing of when we were able to move back and when we were able to, the things that we were able to do with my mom still. And we just kind of knew, kind of like that week before she had us come over. And we kind of knew a little bit, but we didn't know too much. But she had us come over. She wanted to see the grandkids and spend the day with them. She was still had some strength and everything. And the next day is when she finally got admitted to the hospital. And it was a couple days later, she had passed away and gone home to see the Lord. I was really sad, but still I was excited at the same time because I knew I'd watched my mom get saved up in Montana. I watched her kneel down and accept Lord as her Savior. So I know where she's at. It's still hard. You know, the flesh wants her to still be here, but I know where she's at. I know I'll be there one day to see her again. But then after that, you know, just being able to that Sunday that she passed away, we knew, both Jen and myself, we knew when we were driving back home, we knew that we needed to come to church that day. And we came that evening, and God just worked in many ways in that message that preacher had preached, because it was just spot on for me and just losing family member. And I just praise the Lord for his timing, because, you know, we got to spend the 6 months with my mom, as you know, that we did get to see her and everything. And then just everything from then, it's just kind of thing, time's been going faster, it seems like. But we've been able to get more involved in the church and everything. It wasn't too much longer after that. 8 months ago, about now, I had lost my job. But God's timing was perfect again. That same day that I knew that I was losing my job, Jen was able to find one that day, where as a massage therapist, which was such a blessing for us, because it wasn't a burden on us, knowing that we had some kind of income coming in. And it's been a blessing, though, to be a stay-at-home dad for the last 8 months. I've had a few jobs here and there, doing some construction work here and there around for people at church, and it's been such a blessing for our family, and just being able to see how the church comes together in certain situations, and to be able to have people know our situation and still being able to help out and guiding us along and showing us things that that only God can show us. But for the last 8 months, I've been a stay-at-home dad. It's been such a blessing. I give it up to all the moms that stay at home. It is a very tough job. You are one of a kind to do it. God, you are everything. You're a jack of all trades, just like in construction. But the Lord's just been blessing so much in our lives since we've moved back and being able to get involved in everything. And while I've been out of a job for the last 8 months, God's still used us, even at the church, to be able to help out around the church and doing different projects and helping with the different things that have come up and just being able to put together things and be able to work around the church and be a blessing to be able to help relieve some of the pressure on some of the other people, you know, being able to step up and be able to build things and paint and just do everything else. And like I told you, you know, we're just here to do what the Lord has us to do and just to follow what Pastor have us to do. So we're here whenever we can. We do whatever we can. I thank the Lord for all the people that he's put in my life. And I just thank him for his timing, because it may not always be mine. And I can always look, you know, back on things and see that's the reason why he, you know, had us move at this time, or he had us be at this place at this time and in certain situations. And you just kind of like, at first you're like, well, God, why are you having us do this? But, you know, we're going to do it anyways. And I just thank God for his timing and just being able to show us everything that he has been able to show us. And I thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to be able to get up here. Thank you.
You never know just how God's going to be working, but through the invitation to come to church and get involved in the youth department, got saved, impacted his life. God used that to prepare him for what God had him to do. And not only was he in the military, God was able to bring both of them home safely from the military, and then to be involved in the church, and then eventually full circle right back here and now doing the very same thing, encouraging others that come to the church and to find the Lord and to serve him. It's just been a blessing to see how God's worked in that family. Okay, Jeremiah.
439, I'll let you remain seated. Sing the first and the last verse, count your many blessings, 439.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort King you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one. Count your many blessings, see what God.
Well, next is someone who has a testimony that when things don't go as planned, you know, I think that all of us have planned our lives and we expect certain things, look forward to certain things, but things don't always go as planned. And when they don't, through God's refuge, the church, he can help us to adjust, make whatever adjustments necessary, and continue to do what needs to be done. And I think the testimony that I've heard, the testimony that I'm aware of, and I want you to hear it tonight, is from Melody Reed. And Melody is going to come and give her testimony right after Jeremiah and Ashley sing. So.
Every day I wake to find that God ways, I knew that he would be. And I don't know how some people live without him, because I know what Jesus means.
Been attending here for 3 years now. Took me a while to settle down in here. I am one of 10 children. I'm actually a PK, which is a preacher's kid, those of you that don't know what that means. And I am a mother of 4 beautiful children. 2 are out here and 2 are in the nursery. I got saved when I was 17 years old, even though I had been brought up in a Christian home. You know it with your head, but I didn't know it with my heart. And the blessing about that was I was a little bit more spiritually inclined throughout my life. I wanted to please my parents, but of course I wasn't truly born again, so there was always that resistance. And when I was 17, I was tired of doubting. I'd go back and forth, back and forth. And we were at a church meeting in Ohio, and I finally grabbed my dad after the service. He had thought I had done something very bad, and I did not. I just begged him to come outside with me, and I got saved on a street corner in Ohio. If you know Michiganers, Ohio and Michigan don't mix too well. But I did get saved there, so I have good memories. And needless to say, that's when the Lord started to move in my life personally. When you know everything with your head and you've been brought up in a Christian home, it doesn't seem like there's going to be this huge transformation as there would be with somebody that got saved off the street or a bus child that you can see an evident change in them. But at 17, there was a change in my heart, and I just had a different courage and strength in the Lord that I never had felt before. And I was secure that I was finally a Christian. And that night, I had the first fruit. My sister actually got saved as a testimony of my salvation, and that was huge for me because I had witnessed so many times when people would not get saved, and I thought, what is wrong with me? So when she got saved, it was like the Lord was just saying, you're in. It's okay. And that night, the following night, believe it or not, my dad wanted me to give a testimony because we were at this church meeting, and all I did is I get up and said, I got saved. You know, I mean, I was terrified. But 30 people actually came forward as a testimony that because of me being a pastor's kid, and they felt like they could come forward. And the only reason I'm saying that is because God gets the glory, because there's so many people that sit in a pew that aren't willing to come forward because they're terrified of what people think. And I wasn't willing to go to hell because of other people. And I got saved, and that was just the beginning of everything. I surrendered to go to a Baptist college my dad wanted me to go to, which was very hard for me. But as a girl, I surrendered to do that, and I followed it. And I believe that the Lord used that 4 years of what they call Christian boot camp at that place to definitely prepare me for the years ahead. I never in a million years thought what was coming next was going to happen to me. But if it weren't for that experience at college, I wouldn't have made it. And I can honestly say that. I went and surrendered at 19 years old to do whatever God wanted after I'd already been in college for a year. And I didn't know where he was going to lead. Ended up getting married, and that's when, I guess you could say, my walk with the Lord really got strong. I started to develop a more secure relationship with him and realize that I never really trusted God. I really don't trust people at all, but I realized that it was a lack of trust in God. And so went through a very long, very hard trial. And 3 years ago, the Lord moved us back up here in Indiana. Not back, I'm from Michigan, but the kid's dad's family is up here. And my brother-in-law, Daniel Reed, who most of you are a little familiar with, he's kind of quiet, but he's very steady and very faithful man. He was already attending here, and we visited one time with him, and we have been here ever since. And the funny thing about it is I'm very hard-headed, and I started to have to make decisions on my own, but wanted the Lord to lead, and I know that I'm very protective of my kids and wanted them to have the proper upbringing, to be led by God and to put them in a place where we could stay for a long time, and they would have a bulwark. They would have what I was brought up with, and didn't feel God wanted me to go back to my family in Michigan, so I started praying. But after being here for 2 years, I was not really ready to dive in. I just was observing everyone and decided I would be on the outskirts for a while, see if this is exactly where God wanted us. And believe it or not, one day I actually drove out of this parking lot into another church's parking lot after the service and sat there and thought, I'm going to try somewhere else just to see, because again, I just came as a visitor. And hadn't made a decision to stay here. So I thought, well, I'll just try this one out. Walked in the building and walked right back out. I was like, no. Came back to this church that night, and I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. You know, and I could go on and on. Poor pastor listened to me for a very long time one day, but I finally counseled with him. I had had a lot of godly counsel, and today I'm up here to give God the glory for my life. Since I got saved, that's all I've ever wanted to do. I've struggled with temptation just like anyone else. But to me, it's what more do we have to live for? I mean, why are we here? Are we just going to live for ourselves? I mean, it's really depressing when you really get self-centered. And I lived with a self-centered person for a very long time. And it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. And to live with yourself being self-centered, I mean, really there's no point. God's allowed me to have 4 children. To be a testimony to, and I just pray that I'll stay faithful to the Lord so I can be faithful to them, and they've kept me going. And once I talked to the pastor and was able to see their sincerity, I knew that the Lord was starting to put things more into place. I'm very a hesitant person and cautious. I watch things before I actually do them. Sometimes I take too long, but I just felt a sure peace in knowing that they believed the way I was taught. My dad raised us right, and the one thing I will always be thankful for is that he taught us to have a real, true relationship with God. No matter what your parents tell you, if it's just in your head, you guys, you're not going to make it. You have to really have a real relationship with God, and that's only developed through your own time with God. Go somewhere in a corner and pray. If you're distraught with something, Go to God. Do not go to other people unless there's someone that can counsel you to go back to God. And through the trial that I was going through, I started getting to where I felt like, God, what was the point? I mean, you can always go back and say, I did this, I did that, and have regret. And I said, no, I know that I did the best I could because I wanted to please God the whole time. I really, truly did. And after things started coming to a head and I talked with Pastor and his wife, stuff just started to go quickly. And I had the peace that I could make the decision to become a member, which I did last March, and I've been attending ever since. And as soon as you do that, you automatically feel a part. And I still was on the outskirts. I didn't really want to get close to people just for my own reasons. And you don't really want to come across as a Debbie Downer all the time or, you know, talk about yourself. So I started praying about a ministry. Lord, where do you want me? Where do you want me to be now that I'm a member of this church? I need you to direct me. I want the kids to have a godly influence and to feel like they can be involved and have a support group. And as soon as I prayed that, I was looking into Sunday school classes or going through things in my head and asking questions with other people and wanting to be a part of the kids' lives still in a ministry, but still have the kids see that I can, you know, serve the Lord with them. Well, then Miss Donna came up to me and said, can you be in the nursery once a month? And I was like, oh, man. I was like, okay, you know, there's a ministry right there. One, you know, I can do that one Sunday a month. So that was my first, you know, getting my feet wet with the church. And it just feels so, like such a blessing to be able to be a part of God's work again and to know that no matter what you go through, there is a reason. I mean, obviously, I'm up here today for a reason. And I don't want to go into all the details of my trial, but there's so many people out there, probably even in this room, that have gone through what I have, and we just don't know it. And I didn't talk a lot through it all. I didn't want to burden other people or hurt other people, and I wanted to just come out of it the right way. And it took a long time to get through it because I kept begging God, don't let anything happen until I'm no longer bitter. I do not want to be bitter. I want my kids to have a future. And I believe I'm up here because he got me through it. And Isaiah 42:6 says that he will hold our hand. And to me, that is one of the most intimate verses in the Bible because as a woman, you need that security. And even men, believe it or not, you can picture yourself as a little child before God and say, God, I need you to hold my hand. Take me through it. You know, men are so hard sometimes and think they don't need that, but you need God to hold your hand sometimes. And if there's somebody out here, you know, that needs God to hold your hand, remember, he will do it. There's no way to do it by yourself. You're not going to succeed. Well, after that, I was still praying. A mom of four, I want to give everything I can to my kids, 100%, but there's just days where you feel a distance between one or two of them. And one of my little kids, Sammy, he's in the beginners right now, I just kept feeling like I was losing him. And he's at such a susceptible age and vulnerable age, and I just said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I feel so stretched. So I started praying, and I'm so slow, and the Lord answers my prayers. It's like, duh. You know, it takes a couple weeks to register. Oh, you did what I asked. Thank you, Lord. But I started helping in Awana. My kids are terrified if I leave the building. So I thought, well, I better buckle down and see if they need me. And I started helping out in SNAC, thanks to Miss Nancy. She's a precious jewel right there. She faithfully comes, and she takes care of all the little kids' meals. And it was really fun just to be a part of the church again and to help out. And to know my kids were fine and secure and all that. Well, last week or the week before, I asked if I could help out in Cubbies because they were short-handed. And so I went in there and helped, and it was a blessing. I love them. I mean, I'm with kids all day. You think you're going to just shoot yourself. No joke. Sometimes you're just like, ugh. And I'm a homeschooling mom, so I need a break. And I'm thinking, Lord, Awana, seriously? That's like a time for me to kind of get regrouped. But like my dad always taught me, whenever you want a blessing or you're going to be a blessing to someone else, you end up being blessed. And so when I went into Cubbies, I was blessed. Those little kids, I mean, they're just precious, and they're so wonderful. And I thought, oh, great, Sammy's going to get all upset because I'm in his class. He's going to want me, you know. He was wonderful, and it was amazing. And the last Monday, or this past Monday, I was in there again, and it dawned on me. I was like, thank you, God. You're allowing him to draw close again. And he used Awana. And I don't know who's out the door, who's in the door at this church, but I've been here for 3 years, right? 3 years in March, and I can honestly say that I'm still kind of skeptical sometimes when preacher preaches, because I've been in a lot of churches as a pastor's kid, and I've also been in a lot of ministries, and I've gotten burnt many times. So it's wonderful to me when he starts to get on a doctrinal topic, and I kind of pull back and just see where he's going to go with it. I'm like, thank you, Lord, we agree. You know, it's a place that I can actually develop my children and know they're going to be taught the way that I was taught. And I am thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for the support group. I'm thankful for the Reed family and for Daniel being faithful. He's very quiet, but he's a faithful man, and his wife. And I'm just thankful for all you precious people, and Carrie, who took us under her wing right away without knowing what's going on. She does now. But I just want you all to just be thankful for what you have here. And remember that the whole reason you're here on this earth is to give God glory. What else is the point? I mean, there's really no other point. So hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thank you.
You know, it is such a blessing because God has established His church, and the church is a place of refuge for His people. In relationships of this life, it takes two to make any relationship what God wants it to be. One person cannot continue to sustain a relationship. It takes two. But it only takes one to be right with God. And no matter what you go through, if you want to be right with God, you can be. And if you want to be right with God, then His church will be a place of refuge for you. And it's a blessing as a pastor to see how God has used this church to be a place of refuge to so many. And thank you for that testimony tonight.
Grab your songbooks again. We'll sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's 441. You can stand this time. 441. Sing that first and last verse.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000.
Praise the Lord. I believe the testimonies have been right on target. I think they've both been a blessing. The last one tonight, you might have heard the reason why that many pastors' kids fail to turn out right, and that is because they hang around with the deacons' kids. Yeah. Well, tonight, I want you to hear from one that was raised together and have turned out even better than what could have been expected. And one who I have personally experienced to see tremendous faith in God as went through some of the very difficult things of life for anyone to have to go through and yet their faith in God was strong enough to get them through. And I think it'll be a blessing to the church to hear from Rusty Ellis tonight as our final testimony. And before Rusty comes, Hallie Himes is going to come and sing.
Well, I think Pastor had me go last because I'm not a member here anymore, and he can yank me off without feeling bad about it. So, it's a blessing and a curse, I suppose. But it's a tremendous privilege to be back at our church. This is home and always will be and always has been. When considering what to speak about tonight, God laid Ephesians 2:10 on my heart, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I really think this sums up where we should be as Christians. Once we get saved, he's created us. We should strive to serve him. And I know my life has had ups and downs, and I believe all Christians do. So just the thought of that verse gave me a few steps to take in getting to my testimony. First, I think the placement of God, where he's put me in my life. When God formed me, he gave me a very specific place on this earth. I was lucky to be born to my parents. And in that one simple act, God gave me more grace than I believe I'll ever deserve. I was born in America because my parents were Americans. My parents are godly parents. They raised me in church. My parents lived what they said, which I know from experience that doesn't always happen. And they were a guiding light in my life, and that's a tremendous blessing that God gave me just by being born to them. In addition, they raised me in this church.
particular blessing because my wife was raised in this church, and I got to know her from a very young age, and I get to know her and be with her every day, and that's awesome. and I had a youth group that kept me in church when I didn't want to be because I loved my friends. They were all raised here, Jordan being one of them. Not raised here, but he strengthened my relationship. He's a great influence. I had a godly pastor who preached the entire Word of God. And we have a church full of faithful people that I've been able to look to as an example for me all my life. And that's just a group of blessings just by the simple act that God placed me with my parents. And that's unbelievable. And if that was enough, that's more than I could ever thank God for. These things, I think, placed me in a position that at a very young age, I was able to come to the Lord. At the age of 6, I went to bed worried about whether I'd wake up and go to heaven or hell. I have no idea if there was a particular message that I heard. I don't recall any such message. I just remember laying there at night in bed a few different nights thinking, what's going to happen if I don't wake up in the morning? Why a 6-year-old thinks they're not going to wake up in the morning? I have no idea. Probably the Holy Spirit, though, would be my guess, but terrifying thought. So one night, I thought, well, got to take care of it. But for some reason, I always had in my mind that maybe I was saved, maybe I wasn't. Again, why a 6-year-old thought that they were, I have no idea. But so I thought, well, I'll just call my mom. And she walked by, and I was timid, nervous, even at the age of 6. So I said, Mom, I thought if she can hear me at a whisper, then, you know, it's meant to be. Don't ask me, okay? I was 6. So she came in, and I told her, I said, Mom, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. And right then and there, she led me to the Lord. Biggest blessing of my life right then. And again, all leading back to where God placed me and what he's brought me through. Shortly thereafter, I was baptized in the old auditorium. I don't know how many people here remember it. There was I don't know what it was. I always tell everybody it looked like a chest freezer that had the lid off of it that we were baptized in. I don't know if it was an actual baptism or what it was. It could have been a chest freezer. I have no idea. I remember getting baptized there. So, and these rich blessings are just the beginning of my life, and I think that makes me more accountable, and I guess that saddens me because it leads to the second category of blessings as I categorize them, and that's God's patience. I think that's what I'm most thankful to God for is his patience, because despite these wonderful blessings and benefits he gave me, I didn't always choose to do right. I failed him over and over again. I always had a continual desire to serve God, undoubtedly given by the Holy Spirit, but for a long time I struggled with wanting to do the things that the kids at school were doing in a public school. It was a conflict internal within me. I wanted to do right, but, you know, it's, I guess, hard at a public school or in any school when others aren't doing right or you see what they have. So I wanted to walk that line, and it was difficult. And it was my fault, not God's fault. I just didn't look to him, and I didn't trust him like I should have. I justified it because I would bring friends with me from wherever to church. They would come with me. And then, you know, I still didn't dedicate to serving the Lord. I went back and forth. And then I guess there's other sin in my life from when I was younger, but I'm not here to dwell upon that. I want to think about the good that God has done for me. And so I'm going to skip all my faults because we don't want to be here all night. That would be a long night, and then pastor may kick me out again or something. I don't know. But God worked patiently with me, and I just thank him so much for doing that. My walk, like I said, was hot and cold. Sometimes I was close to God. Sometimes I was focusing on my ambitions. I guess when I was in high school, you go through times of what am I going to do, what am I not going to do, and I'd come to the conclusion that I was going to go to law school. And that's what I wanted to do with my life, was being an attorney. I sought God's will about it, and I felt like that was his will, and I took over from there. I decided, okay, you showed me it. I got it from here, God. I'm on my own. I'll ask you the next time I need help, which I realize isn't the right way, but that's what was going on at that time in my life. And then nearing the end of college, Crystal and I were dating, and I sought his will on who I should marry, and I married my wonderful wife, Crystal, another PK, so it's a tremendous blessing with her. She's the best thing to ever happen to me. blessing second only to salvation. She's been very patient with me. She knows all of my faults and failures, but she still loves me for whatever reason. I moved her all across the country from here to California to back here. Thought she was going to get to stay here. Now I moved her away to Ohio again, and she's still with me, so that's a blessing. But soon after we were married, I joined the military in May of 2003, and I think this was a turning point in my life. I enlisted, and that night we had a Wednesday night service. I came to church, and I realized I hadn't prayed about joining the Army. That's just a grief to me. But sorry, I don't even know why I'm like this, but for as long as I can remember, I always read my Bible and I prayed every day. I didn't read a lot, I didn't pray a lot, but I didn't seek to have a consistent walk with the Lord. I would at times and I wouldn't at times. But when it struck me that I didn't pray to God about this monumental decision that I had just undertaken, newly married, in school still, our army was going to war. We were in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I had not even consulted my God about it. But I think this helped me get on course. I really think this was a turning point in my life. At basic training, as Jordan can attest, you're allowed one thing to read, and that's religious materials. It's the only thing they're not allowed to take from you, which is a blessing. So I had my Bible with me, and I started reading it more than I ever had. I had Crystal mail me various books, which some of the drill sergeants wanted to argue with me about whether they were religious or not, but I think they were afraid of discrimination or something, so they let me have them all after brief conversations. So it was a blessing. I got to read more and learn more about God. As I started growing closer to Him, I focused more on my relationship with Him, and that helped me not to care about the world anymore, which is common sense. Pastor preaches it all the time, but sometimes I'm a little dense. So it took a while to sink in, and He really started working on me. As I finished my time in the active duty Army, I came home, and I was planning on going to law school. But I thought I should step back and pray, because I didn't do that the last time. I made a big decision, and I prayed and prayed and wrestled with God about it, and thought, if You want me to go to Christian school, Lord God, I'm willing. I would love to do that. I'd love to go to law school. I'd love to do whatever You want. And that had been my long-term plan, was to go to my undergrad, join the military to learn Arabic, and then I want to go to law school. And I thought, I'll be a oil attorney and I'll make lots of money. And I thought that was a wonderful thing. And I prayed to God, and He gave me peace about going to law school. And I thought, jackpot, this is going to be awesome. So I applied to law school. I got accepted, and I started attending classes, and everything was going wonderfully. And 2007, we had Peyton when I was just starting law school, right before I started, and another one of the biggest blessings of my life. Life was going great. I felt there was a definitive plan. I had a goal. I had the end in sight. I was into law school now. I felt very comfortable with God. My relationship with God was, for the first time, very consistent. It was getting more and more consistent. I was getting closer to Him, and it was just a time in my life that was a blessing like never before in my life. But God just kept working patiently on me for all these many years, and I can't express my gratitude enough to Him to just work with me and in me and through me for all that time, knowing that He could just discard me. He could put anybody else in my place that He wanted to, but He chose to keep loving me and to keep working on me, and He brought me to Him, and that's why that verse came to mind, because I know I'm His workmanship, and He was working on me, and He just didn't let me go. The next blessing that I'm very thankful for is how God helps us with His loving hand as we grow, even when it involves trials. Apologize. Crystal and I wanted to have more children, and I think it was around 2008, 2009, and she became pregnant very shortly thereafter. but also very shortly thereafter, she miscarried our first child. And that hurt. It brought about pain. And then, a little while later, she got pregnant again, and we lost a second child to a miscarriage. And that's a pain I can't explain. But each time God gave us peace. And we knew he loved us, and we kept praying, and knowing that if it was God's will, he would provide for us and he would give us children. But after the loss of these two precious little children, and I believe in life upon conception, so I know I'm going to see these kids again one day. We went to the doctor, and the doctor told us that we could only conceive safely through in vitro fertilization. So in 2010, we underwent that process, and we were excited. We found out she was pregnant yet again. A short while later, we found out there were two babies. We made it past where the two miscarriages had happened, which was a blessing. We rejoiced more and more day by day. And then we found out our two babies were going to be boys. Just knowing the gender made it that much more real to us. We started planning. We prayed for our children. We thought of names. We started preparing a nursery. Then one evening, Crystal thought something was wrong. She said the babies were coming, so we rushed to the hospital. The problem was it was only about 22 weeks along. And before, the babies are considered viable, they need to be about to 24 weeks. The babies didn't come at that time, but the doctors told her that they were coming. But they weren't equipped, they didn't have the proper equipment to stop it. So they sent us to another hospital that had better equipment and that could handle the situation for preterm labor and other such issues. When we got there, the doctors, all specialists, they told us there was very little chance that the babies would remain in utero for the 2 weeks they needed. But they said they would do everything that they could. They put Crystal on medicines, put her on bed rest. She had to lay on her side for days on end. She was miserable. She happily underwent it for those little children. Then, several days in, I think the most difficult moment in my life was when Crystal told me that they were coming. It was too early. I ran to get the doctors, and within minutes, both of our little boys were born. And we were able to hold them for the entirety of their brief lives. They basically fit in the palm of our hands. The doctors told us that they wouldn't live, that their lungs weren't developed. They could inhale, but not exhale. They told us they would die of carbon dioxide poisoning shortly thereafter. We got to hold our little boys. This blessing, God allowed us to hold them while they were alive. I love him for that. But it was devastating too. While they were alive, prayed the whole time. I expected God to let them live. I had faith that he would let them live. I had faith that everything would be okay. So when they died, I was angry with God. I know it was wrong. And it made it harder being angry with God because I was used to relying on him. I trusted him for everything. I struggled. I was bitter. But I knew. I knew what the right thing was. I knew I should be right with God. And I knew it would be easier if I was, but I was angry. So I got in the Word of God more and began praying and fasting. Because I had a pastor who led me, who helped me, who had taught me all these years what the right thing was. So I knew what to do. It didn't feel natural. I just wanted to sulk. I wanted to be angry, but I wanted to have that peace that God gives again, because there's no joy like that joyous. So God was faithful, just as he promised, that if we look to him, he'll help us. He'll strengthen us. And he gradually provided the peace and the strength that we needed, that I needed. And he, very quickly after I started praying and fasting, he brought me back to him. He's so loving and so good to us. I just can't express the thankfulness I have for my God. He was good to me when I wasn't serving him. He was good to me when I was angry with him. He's always been good to me. It's me that stands in the way. It's been 3 years since we lost our boys. I don't think anything can ever erase that pain. It's a pain I feel every day. But it's been a trial that's been very helpful for my life. I think it's helped me to be a better Christian. I thank God that he loves me so much that he's willing to allow me to go through pain like that, to grow in him and to have a closer walk with him. Through that, he helped me to love others more. I can sympathize with others way better than I used to. I used to never cry. Now I cry the entire time I'm standing up here. I find it tremendously easy to pray for everybody, for anything and everything. It's really been a blessing. It's helped me to trust him more. It's incredibly hurtful, but it's just wonderful to know that our God will help us to grow in him and help us to be better Christians. And just the love for him that I have now is unlike it's ever been before. As I sought to continue to grow in Christ, he blessed. As you said, he's faithful to bless us when we look to him. And it's just a tremendous blessing to serve our God. Since that time, he's blessed us in an innumerable number of ways in addition to what we had previously. In 2013, Crystal became pregnant again. And in November 22nd of last year, we had twins once again. We have a little boy and a little girl, Reagan and Samuel. And they're in the back dressed as Mickey and Minnie, which is... but... they're so wonderful. I thank God every day for them. Upon finishing my education, God let me finish law school, and then I got a master's in taxation, and about the time I was finishing with law school, started praying, God, where would you have me to go? I'm ready to go make a lot of money and support the church and tithe, and this will be great. It's going to be easy selling from there. And he said, submit your application to the Christian Law Association. I said, that's a ministry, God. What law firm do you want me to work for? I'm, you know, I'll put all this work in. I think you're having me, you know, I'm supposed to help building projects or something. I want to tithe a lot, and I want to donate. I want to... And he said, no, submit your, you know, obviously not audible, but you know what I'm talking about, the feeling, the leading of God. Submit your application to the Christian Law Association. I don't want to do that, but but he led me, and I submitted it, and I thought, okay, God, I know this is wrong, but I apologize. I thought, I'll submit the application. I'll take steps. If you close all the other doors and open that one only, I'll do it. God's not going to do that. This is going to be great. Every job shut down. CLA called and said, hey, you know, we want to talk to you. And very shortly thereafter, they said, come work for us. So he did. He shut all the doors, just like I prayed. I opened that one. So watch what you pray for. He's provided for all our financial needs. He's given us great health and joy and peace, and we have a wonderful family, and we have a wonderful church in West Carrollton, Ohio now. I'm with you. I don't like the Ohio place, but that's where God has us, and it's a blessing, and we have a wonderful church to serve in there. And it's just incredible to think how God works in our lives, and if we're willing to submit to Him, what He'll do for us and the peace He'll give. I love our God so much, and this holiday is so special just because it's a day to give thanks to Him for all He's done for us.
It's our faith in God that we look to Him for the grace to help in time of need. We never know what a day may bring. We never know what we're going to have to face, what we're going to go through. But I do know that we have a God that's able to get us through it. We have a God that can strengthen us all along the way. What a blessing. What a blessing to hear these three testimonies tonight. I don't know how God might have spoke to you concerning that. But I believe if He has, I don't think it'd be right to leave without an invitation time. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up.